This is the Nutters Club, thanks to New Zealand On Air on News Talk ZB.
Previously on the Nutters Club, Kyle McDonald, our clinical psychotherapist, regaled us with his stories of being on the front lawn of the Parliament, of New Zealand's Parliament yesterday, where he looked at the 606 pairs of shoes that were to symbolise the number of people that have taken their life in the last year. This is all to coincide, of course, with World Suicide Prevention Day. But it turned out that it wasn't just Kyle and Mike King who were there in attendance. No, the Leader of the Opposition, Jacinda Ardern from the Labour Party, yes, let's do this, announced that they were indeed supporting a target of zero suicides in New Zealand, and within their first 100 days, if they were to become the next government of the country of New Zealand, would be enacting a mental health review. Dee gave us a call to tell us what she thought she'd like to see in that review, and said that she would like to see more cognitive treatment being implemented and people not just being given prescriptions and sent home. That was also backed up later by John, who agreed, no more meds. His had actually given him a quite adverse physical effect, which made him less than happy. We also had Christine, who very desperately said she just wanted her voice to be heard. Christine hopefully is starting to consider what she's going to put down in her draft public submission should a review be put into action. Here's hoping. Trish called us to tell us how the system had failed her and her sister, asking that if there was to be a review, that more accountability and support for families who are impacted by mental health be put in place. Because remember, if you are in a relationship, whether that's as a partner or as family with somebody with a mental illness, a lot of the time it's not just about having a relationship with that person. You're also having it with the mental illness as well, and you probably need a bit of support. And then dear Marilyn, who has fast become one of my favourite callers, not that I have favourites, I love you all equally, but just some stick in your memory better than others, decided that she was going to get better and took her whole life into her own hands, and now she likes to offer a hand up to people wherever she can. Back over to you, though, dear listeners. We'd love your calls, 0800 80 10 80. We would like to ask you, if we were to have a government, and I don't actually care whether this would be a Labour government, a National government, or anybody else for that matter, but a government that says, right, we are going to commit ourselves to a mental health review, what are the interesting things that you would like to put in front of them? What are the most important things you want to put in front of them? And I'm just trying to see if we can get some consensus, because so far I'm hearing a lot of love for cognitive therapy and saying that that's a hell of a lot better than just giving me the drugs. Kyle's backing me up. Backing you up on this. You agree with the callers on this?
There's a short answer and a long answer.
The
short answer is yes, I think CBT, we should be providing more of it. The slightly longer answer is it's just one of the therapy methods that works. The slightly more complicated answer is just let's get more highly trained, skilled, experienced therapists in the system, eh?
And I think also too, a lot of the broken parts of the system that we're hearing from people, these are symptoms of a system that's not actually being funded properly in the first place.
Yeah, look, I mean, having read through the 500 plus submissions we got with the People's Mental Health Review and being fairly rigorous about reading all the mental health stories that come through in the media day after day after day, you sort of get to recognise the signs, really, and without question the biggest sign is staff time, which directly leads to access issues and care issues when people are in hospital. Or in the community, for that matter, actually. And when you follow the money, it all comes down to the budgets. Staff, they probably are the most expensive expense in mental health after the buildings, really, because we don't have any machines that go beep. We just need people in buildings. And if you don't have those, you can't provide a service.
All right, well, let's go to your calls if you want to join the conversation. 0800 80 10 80 is the number. We'd love to hear from you this morning. Helen, good morning.
Yes, hello. How are you both?
I'm good. How are you?
Yes, I'm all right. A week or so ago, you had a call from a man who, I think it might have been his brother, took his own life after how he'd been treated by the Inland Revenue Department.
Yes, I remember the call.
Yes, yep. And he felt that he made a very good point. He pointed his finger at the way winds are treating people, and he felt that this was quite significant. And I completely agreed with him after some of the experiences that I had with winds and also with Housing New Zealand. And I think I must be pretty internally tough and resilient because I've survived all this. Look, this, how New Zealand is treating people, there's been some cases lately where, there was a family and their grandmother died after they lost their mother to cancer. His father had killed himself. And two of them were blind. Several of them were suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, and one was in a wheelchair. And they were being given this eviction notice simply because the leaseholder, which was the grandmother, had died.
Yeah, I followed that story. Yes. It really affected me, actually.
Exactly.
It really upset me, that story.
And then there was the one with the 10 children whose mother had been killed in a car accident, and they were being given the flick as well. And then there was this woman, Nikki, who took her case to the High Court. Now, she had a serious heart condition, and I saw a photo of her on stuff or something like that on the internet. She has two walking sticks, and she's got a serious health problem, and they were evicting her from her house, and they'd offered her some other accommodation, but everything was either mouldy or had stairs which she couldn't climb up. Now, this has got to stop. Mm. This is enough to drive people over the edge, and it has to stop immediately because this is not the way you treat people. Now, I've had my own dealings with Housing New Zealand, and it was absolutely, completely traumatic.
Yeah, you've got to be very conscious of how you treat people, and you would hope that that's actually being written into HR manifestos, and that, you know, you've got especially government departments priding in that on how they treat people.
Well, this thing with WENS, the way this culture, which has been terrible for years, and they keep saying this is, you know, they're changing it, but it's getting worse, so I understand. And like this thing with turfing people out of their housing, well, the housing crisis, you know. Kyle, I remember a while ago, you mentioned something about the Health and Disability Consumers Act and how it was being applied really narrowly. And you mentioned something about health professionals. Well, from my computer's been out for a while, so I haven't been able to check this out. But from my recollection of the, I did read that Act quite a number of years ago, and to my understanding, it said anybody who is providing a health or disability service is covered by this Act. It didn't actually, and I'm completely open to being wrong about this, so if you could check up on this, it didn't actually say that those people actually had to be health professionals. It said anybody who is providing a service. Now, that would include Housing New Zealand, WINS, and a whole lot of people outside the medical profession. Anybody who is providing a service.
Yeah,
so
it's
if
a bit,
Housing
it's
New
a...
Zealand is providing a service for people who are with disabilities, they're providing a service to them, and that they are therefore in contravention of this Act, if I have got it right.
Well, look, you raise a really interesting point, and I think that your perspective is absolutely bang on, that providing a health service is about providing anything that cares or supports for somebody who has a health condition. Here's the thing that a lot of people don't know about. Here's the thing that a lot of people don't know about Housing New Zealand, though, which I actually was only reminded of in the last week when there was a political conversation about it. Housing New Zealand has actually turned into a state-owned enterprise. They're no longer technically a quote-unquote government department. They are tasked with providing houses and generating a profit. They're basically a landlord. And the problem with Housing New Zealand a lot of the time is they're a really rubbish landlord. And a little bit like with work and income, when you get big bureaucracies like this, I think it is actually possible for them, if they have cultures or internal policies that may be seen as contravening various laws or even just behaving in ways that most of the population would think is pretty rubbish, they can just sort of carry on, really. And I think that's, you know, I mean, we probably should at some point actually have a show about work and income, because I think one of the things is they've actually by default become the largest mental health support agency in New Zealand, because the number of people that are now just seeing GPs for their medication and being quote unquote supported by work and income in whatever way they see fit to do that is rising, because people can't stay in community mental health services for long periods of time these days.
Yes, I wasn't, when I was talking about Housing New Zealand and turfing these people with disabilities out on the street, you know, people in wheelchairs and with serious physical disabilities, wasn't thinking so much of people with mental health issues, because I mean I've got a physical disability, but it's not, I'm not in a wheelchair or anything like that, but the way I was treated was absolutely appalling. And what I meant was that they are actually providing a service for people with physical disabilities. I'm not mentioning, even though it applies, mental health services, but the way they're actually chucking people out, you know, like the place might be physically accessible.
What you're asking for is people saying, to be mindful how they treat people.
Yes, but you see, what's happening is that, like, I recall a young man who rang up one of the talkback shows, and he said, "Look, I'm seriously physically disabled. You know, I'm in a wheelchair and everything, and they're throwing me out, and I've got nowhere to go." Because if you actually look at the amount of accessible housing that's around, you have to look in the property sections and everything. It's really terrible. And I mean, they're throwing this man out who's got a serious physical disability, and there's nowhere he can go. So the only place he can go is on the street, and that's the angle I'm coming from. So they've been providing him a service because as a physically disabled person, but they're not looking after him.
Yep. Okay.
That was the angle I was coming from. No aspersions on. Not meaning for one minute to diminish people with mental.
Oh no! I haven't taken that from your call at all, Helen.
Thank you. I didn't mean it. That they were any less, because that applies, you know, too. But they're not meeting. The Act says, as far as I can remember, that anybody who's providing this a service comes under this Act, and somebody should take them to court on that, because they're a derelict of duty.
Class action.
Yes.
All right, Helen, thanks for the call.
Well, thank you, both of you.
No, that's all right. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, take a break. Got a few more callers on the line there, but definitely if you want to get in, you've still got an opportunity. 0800 80 10 80. Hear from you soon.
This is the Nutters Club. Thanks to New Zealand On Air on News Talk ZB.
Just so that you know that things are getting serious here, I've now kicked away my chair and I'm standing. You can do this in the News Talk ZB studio.
And he did. It was a dramatic flourish. It rolled into the corner of the newsroom, and now he's...
It actually is.
He's standing all ready for action.
So when I'm poised like this, I know that it's serious, because I'm having a chat with my mate Rex. Good morning, Rex.
And good morning to you, both of you, and good morning to New Zealand. I often wonder, like I've wondered today, but after I've seen 600-odd pairs of shoes outside Parliament, and a Member of Parliament with tears in her eyes, just how many of those 600-odd pairs of shoes had people that stood in them and were either abused, accused, or had injustice done to them and caused them to take their lives?
I'd say quite a few, probably, Rex.
Yes, and the reason I say that, because I can go back 40 years, and I was only a young man, and I met a young man at a party one night, and the next thing we know, he'd been arrested and accused of receiving stolen alcohol. And yet he hadn't even been at that party until the person who'd done the stealing and his sister had fronted up with that alcohol and was partly drunk before that chap even got to the party. Yet he was accused with two others of doing that crime.
Mm.
Now, I spoke to him that night. He said to me, "Rex, I can't go back to jail. I can't go back into where they've had me." He said, "I'm innocent. I haven't done it. You know that. You know the truth." I said, "Yes." I said, "And I'll get a lawyer." And I said, "And we'll win this case." Now, I left him with the girl, the woman, that had accused him. Of course, her own brother had gone and done the job, and she had accused this innocent person and others. I told her she had to stay with him the night and look after him. I got a phone call about 4 or 5 hours later that he'd hung himself. He was dead. I ended up in court with another chap that was charged with me, and I won the case. It was thrown out of depositions. It was all a pack of lies. And yet I still go forth in life with the death of that man on my conscience, because there was nothing I could do to stop it. There was no one I could turn to. There was no one he could turn to.
Well, Rex, you know, just to try and help you with your conscience, first and foremost, that, you know, although he was under incredible pressure, that was his decision, okay? And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't you. You didn't do it. You offered everything that you could. You did everything that you could.
The point is, he was innocent.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, no, I'm not disputing that, but you've got to be a lot kinder to yourself, mate. You know, honestly, that was not you. That's not on you.
Yeah, well, I've gone through that feeling, and then while I look at others that have gone and done it, and I've wondered how many have been let down by a system when there's no justice, and I think if you're going to put something forward for these people, then we should have an independent body out there that will seek the justice and find it for them.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more, Rex. I mean, one of the things that I think is really important, and especially as a response to all of the people out there who say that mental health's turned into a political football and is getting, you know, quote-unquote politicised, that's why we need an completely independent body, like it could even be attached to the Human Rights Commission, I don't care where it lands, that mm-hmm. can actually advocate for anyone within the mental health system and advocate for the system to work properly. Hey, but just I wanted to check with you because it sounded like you were talking about the event today, like you were there. Were you there at Parliament today?
No, I wasn't there. I seen what was on TV tonight.
Oh, cool. So how did it come across on TV? Did it capture the feeling of it? Because it was quite a moving event, actually.
Yeah, it was really moving. You know, it brought tears to my eyes because I just automatically had a flashback to someone I'd known.
Yeah.
Talked about, and I thought, well, you know, what a disappointing system we live under. You know, the system is totally corrupt. If you get involved with it, it'll screw you. I think it needs to be independent for the mental health. It needs to be an independent situation for the mate.
Yeah, I agree.
Rex, I would say that the way that you felt today, unfortunately, would have been the same way that the vast majority of people who saw those images felt, because unfortunately, because of the extreme high number of suicides we have in this country, everybody mm-hmm. gets touched by that.
Yeah.
And you know, and to see, you know, what we saw leader of the Labour Party, Jacinda Ardern, doing today, where she was, you know, close to tears,
mm-hmm.
how could you not be?
Well, that's it. But at the same time, you know, I don't know, I think being a politician, a lot of them, 99% of them, have just got no feelings at all for the ordinary public out here.
Oh, I think it's easy for them to become desensitised with the amount of information that they have to go through. But I also, too, no matter where you sit on the political spectrum, I don't believe that any single one of them walk through those doors not genuinely wanting to try and make the world a better place. I think they just go about it with very, very different ideas. And that's why we have these things called elections.
And when we look back on the regime of Helen Clark, where Oakley Hospital had its problems back in the 70s. How many years did it take to rectify the crap that went on in that place?
Absolutely.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about the abuses and, you know, of the system. I was talking to a couple of people today and they said the only time that they'd felt this sort of heartfelt emotion and sort of raw cry for something to be done was it the recent, and I think it was within the last couple of months actually, call for a royal commission into the abuse of people in state care, that it had a very similar feeling to it. It had a had a feeling of actually something has kind of reached ahead and there's a really genuine call for the government to step in and do something.
Yeah, I think the whole of New Zealand needs an apology for what's gone on over the years in their institutions.
The thing is, as a therapist, you know, at an individual level, you can't, it's not about dwelling in the past. It's not about turning over the horror stories for the sake of it. Unless you really truly understand what went wrong, unless you truly understand the abuses that happened, you can't actually begin to heal and move forward properly. Otherwise, you're continuing to deny how bad things can get.
But if you don't look back on them and you don't rectify them, how can they rectify it not happening in the past?
Absolutely right, Rex. We've got to learn from our mistakes and move forward, right?
Yes.
Okay, hey, look, thank you for the call. And like I said, Rex, just be easier on yourself, mate. You're a good man.
Yes, thank you very much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I've got Josh on the line.
This is the Nutters Club, thanks to New Zealand On Air on News Talk ZB.
I think we're back. That's it. Didn't get the sting through my headphones. Apologies.
It's because you've sat down again. You've lost it now.
I'm all over the place. Need to sort myself out. Josh, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you guys. Just like to pick up and say God bless to everyone that's called. And I'm there. And really hope that whoever's elected can make a change because, you know, being through like 15, 16 years of literally living hell, of panic attacks, anxiety, absolute incompetent GPs that have steered me in the wrong direction with pharmaceuticals that have not helped but have made the things worse. There are things that like the sertraline, other things that have helped, but it really is a showpiece that we should be ashamed of in this country to the rest of the world that our suicide rate is so high.
Here's the thing.
And
here's the thing,
I
Josh.
I can empathize with that. Sorry?
I just want to say, here's the thing, because, you know, like, I mean, I'm hearing where you're coming from, but you ever get this feeling, and this is, this, you know, you say about, you know, the embarrassment that we should feel. I just always feel like, you know, we're not a big country. In fact, we're really, really small. You know, I was talking about this the other day to say, you know, there are people in the world who are mayors of cities, you know, just a mayor of a city that has a greater population than what our entire country does. And it's like, I just feel like we're so small that we actually owe it to ourselves to look after each other a lot better than we are.
Yeah, exactly right.
Because we can actually achieve what we're outlaying here. What we're actually asking for is not undoable.
It's not. That's just that if we come together and we can actually do something about it, we can make it public. I think that's we need to bring it out in the open. We need to actually talk about it. We need to have an open forum where we can actually, you know, say, hey, look, you know, there's problems. There's people that are, you know, literally like Einsteins that just need help. They think they're crazy. They're not. Everyone that's listening right now, you guys, you know, seriously, we are not crazy. It's just that we've kind of tipped, you know, over the edge a little bit, and we sort of have this, you know, genius in us, and with it comes craziness, and we just need to kind of go, hey, I'm another. I own that. That's all good. I can accept that, and I can go forth, and I can go say, hey, you know, like there's going to be consequences to my actions. I'm going to literally, you know, say things that are going to hurt people. My family are going to hate me. And a lot of the time we have problems, you know, with anxiety, with depression, with all these things that come with, you know, with genius. And I hear you guys, I hear your callers, and I think, my God, every one of your callers, and you guys in particular, just sound extremely, you know, intelligent. But we've all been through so much stuff. You know, myself, 16 years of panic attacks, you know, driven by doctors and sort of waiting outside clinics and sort of thinking, shit, am I going to die? And, you know, and sort of going to the wrong doctor and changing GPs and really just sort of thinking I'm crazy. And I'm not. I'm not crazy. It's just my genetics, and it's just what it is.
Here's my new favorite number, because I like numbers.
Okay, give it to me.
Lifetime prevalence rate for mental health disorders, if you include addictions, 80% mm-hmm. of the population. So you know, some studies were generally quoted. They sort of ran at about 50%, but that's been revised now in a couple of studies. It's running as high as 80%. That means if you are someone who goes through your life and never has any mental health difficulties and never struggles with an addiction, you are in the minority.
There you go.
So, minority.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to back up with Kyle there. Kyle likes numbers. I like sayings. And there's a great one about, you know, here's to the crazy ones, you know, the misfits, the people that dared to dream, the people who looked at the horizon and thought, you know what, I wonder what's over there. I'm going to build myself this little thing that floats, put up a sail and just go for it. That's crazy. And so much good has come out of crazy, and we're going to keep on doing it. But when the crazy ones start feeling down and they need a bit of support, we want to make sure that it's there for them.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Good on you, exactly. Josh. Thanks so much for the call.
No worries, bro.
Good to talk to you. And that's exactly what we're trying to say here. And I like what Josh said at the start of his call there. He said, you know, whoever gets into government, because we aren't less than 2 weeks away from the election result coming out, and that will actually be a reasonably interesting thing for us to talk about when it does and what that could mean for mental health issues in New Zealand. But I really don't care, personally, I don't care who holds the keys of power in this country just so long as we kind of get over ourselves and really make this make mental health a priority.
Absolutely. I mean, you and I have said it on the show a number of times. I know Mike has said it publicly a number of times. Jonathan Coleman's had 12 months to come on this show. We would have rolled out the red carpet, made him a cup of tea, and sat down and heard his ideas about how to fix things.
I think for Dr. Coleman, it would have needed to be the blue carpet, Kyle. But, you know, anyway, yes.
Good point. It is kind of blue carpet here anyway, so I think we'd be covered.
Probably.
But we would have happily talked to anybody who wants to come here and talk about mental health. The reality is I know I will be casting my vote based on who's going to fix the mental health system. And if that, obviously I made that commitment 12 months ago, and that, at this point, is not the incumbents.
All right, we'll take a break. We come back, more of your calls.
The Nutters Club on News Talk ZB.
Welcome back to the club. Evelyn, good morning.
Oh, good morning. There's two things I'd like to talk about.
Go for it.
One of them is I went to a meeting earlier this year. It was to do with mental health, and it was called by a young lady who is standing for Labor in the Hutt South electorate. Her name's Jenny Anderson, and she had a preamble before the, you know, when the meeting was starting, and there were three people there who had been there and done that, gone through the mental health people, and their stories were very moving. But that wasn't the they're only the three speakers, and I thought, gee, this is a very short meeting. But they said, we're going to have supper, and then we're going into workshops. And I thought, oh, that's new. So there were about 100 people there. And I have never been to a meeting like that in my life before. Well, I have. I'm a political animal. But I had never been to a public meeting like that before. And so many good ideas came out of that meeting, and I believe that if Labor gets in, that there is hope on the horizon, and it's about time too, because I'm sick and tired of them concentrating on the physical medicine and not the mental side.
Hope's a powerful tool, and we talk about hope a lot here, Evelyn. You know, we say that hope is the key to life.
Oh, definitely. And when you've got hope, you've got to have vision. And when you've got vision and you go for it, you must concentrate on it. But anyway, the other thing I'd like to say is I've had dealings with mental health system myself many years ago. It was in the 80s. I was suffering from depression, and I had gone through a violent marriage, and I was trying to I had five children and trying to bring them up, and coping with that and a full-time job, I just I went to my doctor and I said I felt run down and a little depressed, and he said, "Oh, would you like to go and see a psychologist?" And I thought about it and I thought, "Well, what harm would it do?" And so I went along, and they used to have the psychological services in a house in Lower Hutt, but it had been transferred to part of the Hutt Hospital. And when I went there, it didn't take me long to cotton on to the fact that I was not seeing a psychologist, but I was seeing a psychiatrist. And to cut a long story short, he gave me some tablets, and to put it mildly, those tablets made me suicidal. And I'm wondering how many people have been given those tablets. If it made me, who is not, I'm a normal, what would happen if they're given to people who... Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not running other people down.
No, I understand.
If it affects me, what's it going to do to other people? I don't like the idea of some of the tablets that are around. And I believe a lot of people, they don't need tablets. They need people to listen to them. Because I know a lot of people who somebody thinks, oh, they're a bit, well, you talk about the Nutters Club, and they call them Nutters. I don't think they're Nutters at all. I find them highly intelligent, and they just think differently. Does that
Fair
make
point.
Sense?
It makes perfect sense, Evelyn. And just to qualify, though, I think when we say Nutters, we're saying it in a slightly ironic sense.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Okay, well, I'm glad it's not completely lost on you. Look, thank you for your call, and I think that's some very good points that you've brought up there.
Thank you.
Take care. Rightio, let's keep going through. Anne, good morning, Anne.
Hello. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a bit nervous.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I was in hospital quite a few years ago now, but... I'd just like to sort of make a complaint about this treatment I had.
Okay.
You're in bed, like you get up in the morning and you have your shower and stuff. And they sat me down and then just sort of relayed back to me my life history. And I hadn't told them a thing. I mean, it was such a shock that I just sort of was gobsmacked, really. I didn't know how to handle it.
Mm. Did you find it quite confronting just having somebody lay bare your whole life to you?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I felt invaded. I felt violated. I just felt like they'd sort of raped me to the... bare bones of my mind. I still feel annoyed and angry about it. I don't know why they should do something like that to a fellow human being, I'm sure.
Was it done without any sort of compassion at all, Anne?
without consent, without consultation, anything. Just like they were, I don't know what they were trying to do, but it certainly wasn't, didn't sort of feel like treatment. I mean,
so it was part of the problem that they had accessed a whole bunch of information about you that you hadn't told them.
Well, they just relayed my life back to me in, right. in short sentences, like, you know, like mm-hmm. I don't know, like what, like titles or something.
Mm.
And I said I never told them all that, and my family didn't know half of it. And I mean, it was like they just invaded my head to remove it, and I just felt totally, absolutely naked inside, if you know what I mean.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you know at the time, or do you know now looking back, what it is that you needed at that time that you didn't get, or what you needed at the time that would have been much more helpful than what happened?
Well, just sort of somebody talking to me rather than at me. I mean, that would help. But yeah. Talking with me, you know, sort of like a friendly conversation rather than sort of just...
someone a bit more caring.
Confrontational sort of a feeling about it, like a, you know.
Yeah, so a sense that someone was making a connection with you or sort of trying to understand what was going on for you, something like that?
Oh, they can sort of excuse it off, but I haven't really talked to anybody about it, and I've been on medication that's sort of left me a bit... well, it's very hard to remember how long ago this happened and all that sort of thing. I mean, my memory is sort of affected.
But how are you doing these days, Anne? How's life for you?
I've cut back the medication that they put me on, but, this is how I can sort of put all this together now, because the medication was keeping me sort of dull or numbed or something, like a...
And so in talking about what you would like to see addressed in the mental health system, you would just like to see a greater emphasis on the personal care, or, you know, just sort of making sure that you're actually being kind to somebody when dealing with them. Is that what you want people to hear?
Just to have them realise what they're doing to people when doing stuff like that. I'm a fairly quiet sort of a, you know, homely person, if you like to put it that way.
Sure, I understand.
And a reserved, sort of bit shy, and, you know, I'm feeling quite nervous about putting this, you know, over the airwaves, but anyway.
No, you're being really strong, actually, Anne, you know, and being able to call up a radio show and, you know, albeit on nationwide radio and articulate what you've gone from. I mean, you are calling up and asking for people to actually realise what those actions, the impact that they've had on somebody. So I think you've done incredibly well. Thank you very much for calling.
Okay, then.
Okay, you're really strong being able to do that, Anne. And I do, you know, first of all, I'm sorry that you went through that. But by calling up and adding your voice to this, you're able to ask for what you so desperately need, and that is just for more kindness and consideration when dealing with people in the mental health system.
And less drugs as well. I mean, I agree with what other people have been saying. Some of the drugs are really diabolical, what they do to you.
Absolutely.
I was on Risperidone for many years, and yes, that affected me quite badly in ways that I won't discuss, but anyway, yeah.
Well, we've heard a lot of people talk about that on the show tonight and this morning. So, you know, and thank you for adding your voice to that as well.
Okay, then.
Take care, Anne.
Thank you. Thanks for the program, too.
That's all right. Thank you for being a first-time caller.
Okay.
Take care. All right. We'll hit a break, and when we come back, I've got so many callers in here. I'm going to get through as many of you as I possibly can. So stick with me back soon.
The Nutters Club on News Talk ZB.
Okay, who's going to be the lucky next caller to talk to? So many to choose from. Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, the Nutters Club crew on ZB. How are you?
Very good, mate. Always good to hear from you.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that we know the majority of the government's income, which is literally the budget, is from GST and tax. And in the year, they collect around $80 billion, and $40 billion of that is put into social security and benefits. And I was speaking to a friend, and he said that one thing that worried him about Labor coming into power is that with the promises Jacinda Ardern has made pre-elections, and of course the National Party already have a foundation, you know, they're already established. But he's just worried that, and they've brought us over 2.5 terms and have managed to keep us afloat up to now and bring us on to the other side. John Key pulling us out of a major recession in 2013. Remember what happened to Spain and Italy? They couldn't even withdraw their monies from the cash flow machine. But he's worried that if Labor gets into power with the promises pre-elections, they will actually dig quite deep into the budget, which could leave us in a little bit of trouble a year down the track. Whereas I said, National is already established, so they wouldn't be digging that deep into the budget like Labor would be just starting off. And that's one thing that he was concerned about.
What do you think?
I think I would like to stick with National, who, as I said, have already brought us over 2.5 terms. And if you look around you, you'll see that everything is still functionable. But then again, as Mr. Coleman Ross said about 20 minutes ago, that I believe whoever is running our country would have nothing but Kiwis at heart, you know?
Oh, I quite firmly believe that, Mark. I really do. I don't think anybody goes into politics because they want to screw things up.
And as you said, Jacinda had tears today. And, you know, she really puts her heart into things. But it's just the promises pre-election, which means that they'll be taking out at millions and millions and millions of dollars to stick to those promises.
You can't help but be a little bit cynical, you know. I mean, you really want to believe them, don't you, Mark? You really want to believe that they're going to, you know, change the world, but you can't help but be a little bit cynical.
Well, now that you say that, you know, everything that she has promised are just things that people wish every day anyway. I mean, we all wish we had this. We all wish it was better. Of course we all wish that.
She hasn't promised me a new car. Oh, she hasn't promised me a new car, though.
Who's promised you a new car?
She hasn't promised me a new car.
No, but who has?
No one. That's my point.
Oh, okay. Do you want a new car?
Oh, you want a new car, do you?
I wish for a new car.
What would be your preference of cars if you had a choice?
That's a very good question. You know what?
A Volvo?
You want a Tesla or something?
My next car is going to be an electric.
He's going to get a Nissan Leaf.
No, I'm not going to get the
UK is going to all be electrified by the year 2020. But I heard another guy saying that the waste of batteries, et cetera, is a lot more polluting than oil.
Oh, look, absolutely. I'm not. It's not primarily motivated by the environment. It's much cheaper to run one.
Oh, of course. And, of course, there will be power stations like petrol stations.
I'm going to get solar panels.
Oh, right. Okay. Will power, in fact, be a lot cheaper than gas?
It'd be a lot cheaper when you got your own solar panels.
Exactly.
All right. I'm going to leave it there. Mark, thank you.
Can you play a song, please?
Yeah, we'll play a song, but you want us to shut up and go home, do you, Mark?
I want to, you know that one, and it's not far down to paradise. At least it's not for you.
Do you know what? I think I'll just leave you go.
Our producer's shaking his head. He's got no song recognition of that
trick.
Oh,
we can do miracles. Just you wait.
I'm signing off.
See.
I'm calling it a night. This place is nuts. I've had enough. Mark.
Christopher Cross.
Mark, thank you so much. What was the name of the song? Christopher Cross, give us the name.
Sailing.
Kia ora, Mark.
Yeah. Good man.
And you know that one, if we could fly between the moon and New York City.
I don't know it.
I am crazy.
Right.
But it's true.
Ah, very good. Very appropriate. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Bye.
See you, bye. Oh, dear. Well, you know, the show's not called The Nutters Club for nothing.
I love Mark.
Yeah.
Oh, I like hearing from Mark every week.
I do too.
It's great.
Hey, thank you so much to all of our callers tonight. Dee, Christine, John, Trish, Marilyn, Helen, Rex, Josh, Evelyn, Anne, and Mark. You've all been wonderful. It's been great to have you here on The Nutters Club. To all the callers who didn't get on air, I'm very, very sorry. Please call back next week. Would love to chat to you. In the meantime, Kyle McDonald, thank you so much for being here once more.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And to everybody else out there listening tonight, please remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to other people, and have a great week. We'll see you next week.
This is The Nutters Club. Thanks to New Zealand On Air on News Talk ZB.